This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Here's little Frankie down the cotton trail.
Happy Easter to you.
Happy Easter and happy Passover to you, Charlie.
That's right. It's a big weekend.
I shouldn't have started that song without having the lyrics firmly planted in my noggin, but there you go. Here we are in a long holiday weekend. It's a very telling time for a lot of folks, Christians and Jewish listeners, for Passover and so forth. And I'm looking forward to seeing a couple of my grandkids a little
family.
Later on today.
Are you?
You know, I got them. Not shy. Didn't buy any more.
They might be listening.
No, yeah. No, I don't think so.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to have enough chocolate. So I got them hula hoops.
Oh, good idea.
So that'll, you know.
Get them out to
the
park.
That'll keep them busy.
Yeah.
Wear off some of that sugar.
Wear off some of that energy. Children and their energy is like, exhausting.
Anyway, here we are and talking. Now, look, it's nice and sunny out there,
it's
Charlie.
Blue. I was blinded by the sun today. Yeah. It's gorgeous, actually.
But chilly.
And snowfall warning in Sudbury as we speak.
Lovely. Here are the numbers if you'd like to call in and say hi to Charlie and happy Easter or whatever else, by all means. In Toronto, 416-360-0740. Anywhere else in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. Our little mantra is, please call early, call often, one question per call. And if you happen to be a first-time caller, let Sebastian, our operator, know. And when you come to the air, that will precede you.
And you
get your garden wings.
Garden wings. And Frank loves doing that. He loves getting that exercise. Call in. First-time callers are super welcome.
Yeah.
We're on the cusp of April. Spring has started. It's a bit of a slow start, but spring has started. And, wow, there's lots going on. So let me just get right to some of these events. This Monday, well, I guess not this Monday, a week Monday, April 9th, at 8 o'clock in the evening, the Agent Court Garden Club meets at the Knox United Christian Education Center, 2575 Midland at Shepherd. That's in Toronto. Edna Caldwell will teach everyone about roses. Very friendly bunch of gardeners, always happy to welcome new faces, new members. Lots of fun. Actually, speaking of fun, I had so much fun at the Brooklyn Hort Society this past Wednesday. It was, and I was just telling you, first time ever, I preached. I was in the pulpit. And we were at the church, but instead of the church basement, we were in the real church.
Wow.
It's great.
You should have taken up collection.
I should have thought of that when I was there. All right, so that's happening on the 9th. Now, also on the 9th, I'll be speaking at the Innisfil Garden Club in the Churchill Community Center, 6322 Yonge Street in Innisfil. That's your sort of neighborhood. Meeting starts at 7:30. My topic is designing with trees and shrubs, which, of course, is an excellent topic at this time of year since we're all thinking about doing some planting sometime soon. Wednesday, April 11th, the Riverdale Hort Society meets, of course, at the Frankland Community Center, 816 Logan Avenue, just south of the Danforth, 7 p.m. Speaker is Signe, I don't know how you pronounce that, S-I-G-N-E. How would you pronounce that? Signe?
Sign? Unless I can see it, I'm stuck.
Well, it's Sign, S-I-G-N, with an E on the end. Langford. She's the author of Happy Hens and...
Signe.
Okay. Happy Hens and Fresh Eggs, Keeping Chickens in the Kitchen Garden with 100 Recipes. So she'll be speaking there, of course, at the Frankland Community Center on April 11th. 2 weeks from today, Saturday, after the show, I will be speaking at the Berry Garden Club as part of their spring seminar.
Oh, wow.
That's at 1:30 in the afternoon. Meeting is at the Tangle Creek Tangle Creek Golf Club in Thornton. My topic is great gardens with less water, which is always a favorite topic because we don't appreciate our water enough.
Well, there you are. I'm going to call George Ginescu, my old pal. He lives up in the Barrie area.
He might just want to come. Yeah. You never know. Okay, and I guess we need to go, but I just want to say, we're in the Toronto Star today. We are so famous. So shout out to Mark and Ben Cullen. Mark and Ben do a column every Saturday in the Toronto Star in the homes and condos section. Today, the subject is puttering around with gardening podcasts. And I'm proud to say that they love our show and recommend it as a wonderful show to catch for staying on top of gardening and listening to the extremely talented hosts, plural.
Well, they gave me far too much credit when they said something to the effect of the hosts, including me, answer questions. Unless it's the odd occasion when I might have a word to say about nematodes.
I know,
it's all Charlie's bailiwick.
It's your specialty.
Thank you very much.
They're
very nice.
You're on the bell. I mean, you have some talents. There's no question.
Well, thank you.
Gardening might not be one of them, but you do have some other talents.
All righty. We're going to take a little bit of a break here. Our first break coming up, but we'll come back and zip out to Etobicoke to say hi to Molly here in this gorgeous morning on the cool side, but nonetheless, it's nice and sunny. Back in a moment.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All right, Charlie, let's head out to Etobicoke. Say hi to Molly. Welcome to the show, Molly.
Good morning.
Welcome to both of you.
Hi there.
Thank you.
I'm phoning regarding a limelight hydrangea.
Yeah.
I talked to you last year about it, and it never really bloomed until late on in the season, and then it bloomed profusely.
Good.
It's beautiful.
Well, it is a late summer bloomer.
It hadn't bloomed any, in any year up to then. It has grown a lot, and you said to cut it back in March.
Or April. As long as you cut it back in the spring, you're fine.
Okay.
No cutting back.
Where do I cut it back? Where about and on the bush do I cut it back?
Okay, so limelight hydrangea is lovely. I'm one of my favorite shrubs, but it wants to be very large. If you left it unpruned and untended, it would be 8 feet tall and 8 feet wide happily. So most of our gardens aren't big enough to handle that. So I cut mine back in the spring. Where do I cut it back? Well, if you look at the stems, even right now, if you look at the stems, you will see little bumps on the stems, which are the nodes where the leaves are going to come from. So when you get out there with your nice sharp pruners on a dry day like today, and you cut down to just above those bumps on the stems, keeping in mind that wherever you cut it, two shoots are going to, pop off of that cut point in the, opposite to each other. So you just have to kind of envision how the shrub's going to grow after you do the pruning. Don't be afraid to cut it back by as much as 30%. So if it's 6 feet tall now, you can take 2 feet off all around. You may have to do a little bit of thinning. It might be all kind of dense in the center. May have to take anything that's growing to the inside, remove that. You don't want crisscrossing branches, and you don't want a lot of denseness in the center of the shrub. You want it growing to the outside. So just sort of work through. It'll take you half an hour or so to do it. There's no rush. Just take and stand back. Take another bit and stand back.
Okay, so that's above the node.
That's right, just above.
Okay, that was what I really wanted to know.
All righty, there you go.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thanks
for
calling.
Yeah,
bye.
You betcha, Molly. Thank you, and have a wonderful Easter weekend. Nice to have Dubai here on this long
Easter and Passover. This is
crazy
weekend for me. I'm all over the map.
Exactly. Well, let's find out what's going on in Caledon East. Mm-hmm. There's Angie. Good morning, Angie.
Good morning, Frank. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
I have about eight peony bushes that are getting a little out of control. Some of them are tree peonies, and the others are the regular. I need to cut them. I mean, do I have to lift them right out of the ground to transplant? To split them?
Okay, so the herbaceous peonies are the ones that died down all for the winter.
Yes.
And right now, they're probably not showing above ground at all. But you know where they are. You've got rings or stakes or something there. The best time, if you want to divide those kinds of peonies, is in the fall.
Okay.
Not now. If you can do it now, but you're really going to impact the flowering this year.
That's what I was going to ask. That's what I wanted to know. Yes. I don't want to miss the flowering.
And honestly, yes, if you're going to do that dividing, that, you know, making it a smaller plant, sharing it with your friends, neighbors, family, you're going to have to dig it right out. And it's going to be with a digging fork. You're going to go down. You're going to lift out the whole tuber. Mm-hmm. And if they're quite old, I mean, peonies live for a very long time.
I've got one plant that's a blood red that's 80 plus years old.
Wow. But you put it there. It hasn't been in that spot, right?
I put it, I got a slip.
Right. So you planted it when? How long ago?
That one? Oh, 8 years ago.
Yeah. So, I mean, it will have grown, obviously. What you planted and what's there now are going to be quite different. But you can still do that dividing, digging and dividing. Just do that in the fall, September, preferably.
Okay.
Anytime in September. Now, the tree peonies, I would not even attempt to move.
Okay.
They hate being moved. They are very unhappy. It can be done. I've seen it. I've seen them survive transplanting, but they are tough to transplant. You can.
So many people want slips from them. So many people say, can I have a piece of that?
But
especially the tree peonies, but I'm just going to have to say no now.
Say no, because those are grafted. They will, even if you took some cuttings off of those and got some roots growing on the cuttings, they're unlikely to survive in other people's gardens.
Okay.
So that is grafted. There's a different root. What's below ground is likely a peony, but it's not the same as what's above ground.
Okay.
So, yeah, just tell everybody, come to your house, take pictures, admire, bring bottles of wine. That's all good. But no, you can't share it. They have
okay.
to buy their own.
Thank you, Angie. That pretty well sums up Charlie's approach to gardening. Bring wine.
Right.
I always picture you on your front
you
lawn
too.
Doing the weeding with a little wine bag, you know?
Well, no, it's that backpack.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, the backpack with the straw.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, keep your hands, you know, I'm very busy in the garden.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We have to take a little bit of a break here, but let me repeat the phone numbers because we do have some lines open right now in Toronto, 416-360-0740, and anywhere in the province, toll free 1-866-740-4740. Back in a moment to say hi to Yasmin in Hamilton here on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, phlox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Hey, Charlie, let's head off to Hamilton. Don't know whether we're on the mountain or not, but it's going to be in the general area anyway. Yasmin, hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning. All the best for Easter and Passover to you guys.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show.
So, Charlie, last night I happened to be awake late, and I was pleasantly surprised to see you on TV.
Oh, that's nice. Mm. What was that? Was that the ageless
And part? My question is, I thought I heard when you were planting seeds, did you say it does not need light initially? Is that what I heard you say?
It depends on the seeds. There are some varieties that actually do need light to germinate, and we sow them right on the surface of the soil, so they do get light. Now, they don't need bright, bright light. They just need light. Most seeds do not require light and do very well with a little bit of heat from below, will germinate faster. But as soon as they start to grow, as soon as you get a little bit of green happening above ground, then you need the light. Lots of light.
Oh, okay.
The more light,
that's
the better.
I must have missed that part. Okay.
Yeah. So depending on what you're growing, like lettuce, for example, requires light to germinate, but most seeds do not.
Okay, because I've started some lettuce and basil and nothing's come through, so I just wondered whether I was doing something wrong.
Well, the package should tell you how deep to plant the seeds, and the lettuce should have told you to sow the seeds, you know, an eighth of an inch or less deep versus the basil,
shallow.
Which would be a little bit deeper because they are actually below ground.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. And now I have to rush out and get the Toronto Star and read up on you guys.
There you go.
Lovely.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you so much, Yasmin. Yeah, delightful to have you on the show. Where are we at? 9:27 here on a Saturday morning. Hey, look at this. Wait a minute. Get the bell out.
Get going.
Yeah, that's for Lynn in Markham. Hi, Lynn.
Good morning, everyone. How are you?
Excellent.
Great.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Charlie, I had a weeping pussy willow bush given to me by my mother many years ago. After 3 years of our precious little rabbits from our forest eating it, it started to grow straight. It has continued. We've just left it alone. And it is now about 30 feet tall.
No, you're going to say that.
Wow.
It's lovely. The only issue is I can no longer reach to get the catkins in the spring because they're now at a much higher level. Have we made a big mistake doing this? Do I cut it down and try and start again? Will it grow back if I lop it off?
It actually will.
Oh, okay.
Pussy willows are super tough. You can do a lot of abuse to a pussy willow and it will survive.
Okay.
So, because they grow so fast and they're such vigorous plants, and if you do plant one in your garden at any time, make sure that you put it right in your calendar to do annual pruning on that plant. So the pruning can be done at this time of year because you would be then gathering up all these lovely branches with the little fuzzy buds on them, which the little that we love so much, and using them in, decor arrangements, etc. But annual pruning for sure. So if it's 30 feet tall now, absolutely get out the ladder, do some serious pruning on that plant, get it back down to a reasonable size.
What would be a reasonable size?
Well, it depends on the size of your garden, of your yard, how much room you're prepared to give this plant, knowing that it's going to grow. Like last year with all that rain, it probably grew a meter or more last year. So in a regular year, it probably would grow about a meter. So envision what size you want it to be at the end of the summer. Recognize you're going to bring it to that size less the meter. So if it's, 30 feet tall, do you want to bring it right down to 3 feet tall now? That might be a little too dramatic, but certainly start the process.
Okay.
Chop it down by half for sure this season and do it again next spring, I'd
Wonderful.
Say.
I appreciate your time.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thank you both and happy Easter and happy Passover.
Thank you very much.
You too.
Take care.
Bye-bye. I was just going to say, what is it about the pussy willow? It takes me right back to kindergarten. Childhood, when
there's certain things we remember, and so often it's it can be taste, it can be feel, right? It can be smell. So it's like lilacs. Everybody knows lilac. The one shrub everybody knows and everybody says, the one plant I want in my garden is a lilac. And again, it's back to your childhood. Trimming them to take them to the teacher, your mom trimming them, bringing them in the house. People know peonies for the same reason. And they know their pussy willows.
Funny. Can you buy pussy willows like at a garden center? Do they have
a plant?
A plant, yeah.
You can. And anybody who's selling it, it's a license to print money because they're so easy to grow.
Wow.
Just go for a walk out in the woods. Literally break off a piece of pussy willow. You don't even have to cut it beautifully. Take it home and jam it in the ground. It'll grow.
I can't find any around our place. Honest to Pete. Now you'd think.
Really?
We live in the middle of a forest, basically.
They are often planted. Like where I am, there's a green. It's a walkway and it's a bike path, etc.
Yeah.
And it was planted up by the town of Richmond Hill, I guess, at some point. And there are pussy willows in there. I'll bring you a piece.
Oh. All right, fair deal.
You just jam it in the ground. It will grow.
Okay. Well, that goes well with my gardening technique.
That's right. And that you'll be the pussy willow expert after that. Okay.
Well, Elizabeth in Scarborough, I hope you're listening in and you're on the air now.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I have an enclosed balcony off my master bedroom. And last fall, I decided to put the hanging geranium pots in there. And they have absolutely thrived and have bloomed all winter.
Nice.
Once a week, I put a bit of water on them. But now they're very leggy. And I wondered when to take cuttings. Normally, what I've done is to start new plants in pots, use the stem root. And cut them off, dump them in stem root, and stick them in soil, and they've done beautifully. But I don't need any more hanging plots, so I just wanted to put them in the garden. And I wondered if putting them in water, they would get roots, and if I could just stick them in the ground. But I wondered how soon, because we've still got probably 8 weeks before the ground is warm enough.
True. So, but if they are hanging geraniums, meaning they're pendulous, they are, like, are they, or are they just geraniums in hanging basket
pots? They're just geraniums in hanging baskets.
Yes. I was going to say, if you don't need any more of them, then just cut the plants right back and toss out what you cut off, and that will bush them out.
But I was thinking of, I could stick them in the garden. There's some bare spots in my garden. And what I have done, pulled the geraniums that I had in the garden and stuck them in paper bags, and then in the spring or when it's warm, stuck them in the ground, and some of them have taken. In fact, sometimes I've had really good success with that.
Yeah, it kind of depends on the vigor of that particular geranium variety that you're working with. Of course, there's so many out there, it's hard to know. What I would do, you're right, it is a good 8 weeks before you're going to be into the garden with these little tender cuttings.
Yes.
But I would take them anytime now, believe it or not. So you're going to cut back the mother plants. That's going to cause them to be more bushy and dense and look great when it's time to go out. Whatever you cut off, you can root, as you said, either in water or into little pots of soil. The stem root that you referred to, excuse me, is a rooting hormone.
Yes.
And that will encourage the roots to grow even faster. But giving them 8 weeks in pots will get those roots growing, cause them to grow up a little bit so that they're not such tiny little plants, and be ready to go outside if you've got room for all that between now and the end of May. I would do my cuttings now.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
You'd like to have a little word or two with Charlie Dobbin, Master Gardener. She's right here in our studios at the Zoomerplex in Liberty Village as we broadcast live. And the phone numbers, I best give you again here. We've got room for a couple of folks to call in. In Toronto, 416-360-0740. And then anywhere in the province, it is toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. I believe it's our old friend John out there in Mississauga on the line. Good
our
morning,
old
John.
Friend.
Good morning, Charlie. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, friend John.
Listen, I've been listening to every Saturday except the last couple of weeks. I was away for a couple of weeks.
Where were you, in Malta?
No, not yet. But I was on a cruise.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm still jealous.
It's true, Frank. It's the best.
I'll bet you.
So now Frank won't let me ask you two questions, Charlie, so I'm going to ask my main one.
You can always call back, Charlie.
Anyhow, Charlie, a little while ago I heard you saying to, that too much of cow or sheep manure in the garden will create more leaves. I do that every year. I already turned my soil this year.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What's your opinion, please? Can I do that again this year or no?
When was the last time you added manure or any supplements to the soil?
Last summer, spring.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
No, excellent idea. Always, always. And this is the vegetable garden we're talking about,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Every spring, good idea, incorporate either composted manure or homemade compost. We need to always be supplementing our soil with organic material, which is going to help with the life in the soil. Keeping in mind that manure also has some nutritional value. So just recognize that there's a fair amount of nitrogen in manure. So don't be cranking out the Miracle-Gro as well as manure. So if you're going to do this incorporation of manure, it's a great idea. Just be very careful with other fertilizers after that.
Okay. So in other words, because to be honest with you, maybe in the middle of the season, around probably, I don't know, the end of July or so, I just put in the water, I mix it, and then I water the tomatoes and all the veggies.
Good idea.
That I should not do that.
Because you have the experience of knowing what these plants look like when they're at their best, and you know what you're striving for. In the case of tomatoes, of course, who cares how big the plants are? It's the tomatoes that we want, right?
Oh, yeah. So
it really becomes a bit of a knowledge based on experience. So there you are looking at your garden third week in July going, you know, it's been raining a lot, so I know a lot of the nutrient has washed through my soil, leached out, so I do need to supplement with with fertilizer now, or it's been very, very dry, so and I haven't been watering, and so it's not a good idea to crank a lot of fertilizer on. The plants are small because of the drought, right? So, you know, you just have to kind of look and recognize what the summer's been like, what your plants look like, but there's nothing wrong with doing, like you suggest, a fertilizing end of July on the annual vegetables, annual flowers. No fertilizing of our woody plants. No, don't be out there fertilizing your apples and plums and pears at the end of July. Because that's the wrong
time. That's my next question, but Fred won't let me ask you. Well, you know what I should spray or not.
Yes, spray. Dormant spray, now.
Yeah, but it's Charlie, to be honest with you, I've been waiting and waiting. Like this morning, I got up early, but it is zero.
I know.
It's cold.
And it's gonna rain this afternoon too.
Yes.
So don't spray today.
Okay.
Tomorrow it's only like
happy Easter, happy Passover, and always nice talking to you.
Yeah, thanks
nice
for talking calling,
to you, John.
John.
And
take care.
As soon as you hang up, I want you to call right back in.
Well, he snuck it in.
Did he sneak that in?
You got it in there.
I was slow on the draw.
You're
son
so
of
busy
a gun.
Looking at who's coming up here.
That's
no,
right.
But, so what John was just asking that he snuck in was, is it time? When is the time to spray our fruit trees with the dormant spray? And I said spray now, and of course he said he got up early to spray today. The rules with dormant spray, it needs to be above zero, and above zero for 24 hours.
Yeah.
It also, we want no rain in the forecast for 24 hours, and preferably no wind. So today's not an optimal day, because it is going to be quite chilly overnight, and it is supposed to rain this afternoon. So wait another day or two, John. Sky is clear now, but apparently it's going to rain later.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, above zero, no rain, and no wind is the time to be spraying. And that will happen in the next week or so. So be ready with your dormant spray.
All righty. Charlie and Frank skidding to a halt momentarily, because it's time for a little bit of a commercial break here on the show. And then we're coming back to a first-time caller from Lindsay, Mary by name. So you hang tight, Mary. We'll be right with you here on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Mary in Lindsay.
Excellent.
There you go. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Good morning.
Yes, my problem is I bought a climbing plant last year. It's called a Thunbergia.
Oh, yeah.
A beautiful thing. Mm. It has yellow flowers, and it just bloomed like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering now what I should do with the vines. Should I cut them off, the old ones that were there last year, or should I leave that? Will they re-leaf?
They're outside, I assume?
They're outside, yeah.
They are dead.
They're dead.
Yeah, that's an annual plant.
Yeah.
So you can cut it back, you can dig it up, you can do whatever. The chance of survival is extremely low.
So it might not grow at all this
year.
That's
right. You might have to just get that plant again. And, did you pick it up locally in Lindsay?
Yeah.
So wherever you picked it up, whatever was, you know, whatever store, swing by and just say, look, I love that Thunbergia. Are you getting more this year? Because it is an annual and it won't have survived outside.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought it was something that once it was there, it was there.
Yeah, it's very sweet, though. They call it brown-eyed Susan vine, just because kind of reminds us of that. It's the brown center with the bright yellow, very, very cheerful plant and flowers.
Oh, it's absolutely beautiful. I just love the thing.
All right. Well,
the only trouble is where I planted it, the only space I had when I planted it, my neighbor got the benefit of most of the flowers because her side of the fence
over.
Was
right.
The sunny. South side.
I know. I've had that happen with my clematis, I tell you. Up and over my fence into the neighbor's.
Yeah.
And I warned them. I said, when you find me sitting in your backyard, when you come home from work and I'm sitting there with my martini, I'm here admiring my garden.
Well, what I did in the coming on fall, I took a piece of root, and it rooted.
Oh, all right.
And I put it in over beside my garage, but I don't know whether that'll survive or not.
Probably not.
And it's
you need more sunlight.
But good idea. Yeah. So when you get a hold of another plant this spring and you get it out in the garden, take some cuttings towards the end of the summer, bring them inside for the winter, and then you're good to go.
Yeah. And they'll survive, you think?
Yeah, they will, as long as you can give them some sunshine.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mary.
Thank you, Mary.
Great call.
Okay, thank you very
good
much.
Luck with that.
You bet.
Yeah.
All the best. Here's another Mary, for heaven's sakes, in Burlington this time around. Hi, Mary. Good morning.
No.
No. What do we?
Down to Sarita.
Oh my goodness. Okay, that line dropped off. All right. Yeah. So we're to Sarita in Aurora.
Uh-huh. Good morning.
Good morning. Hello, Sarita.
Hello. Good morning.
Hello.
I have a flowering maple, but it never flowered.
Oh.
And I just wondered what's going on with it.
Sunshine.
It was about 10 years old, I would say.
10 years old?
Pardon?
Did you say 10 years old?
Yeah.
So this is in a pot inside your house?
Yes, but in the summertime I put it outside.
Okay. So, flowering maple, it's interesting. Our last caller was on the same subject in the sense that it's a flowering annual tropical plant. So flowering maple, the proper name is abutilon, A-B-U-T-I-L-O-N.
Mm-hmm.
It does look like a maple because the leaves are maple-like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is not actually a maple because maples don't flower the way this one does. Trick with the flowering maple is lots and lots and lots of sun.
Mm-hmm.
Do fertilize as we're now getting into longer days.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to respond to fertilizer. Also, if you're going to prune it now,
mm-hmm.
Just to help it be a more compact, dense plant.
Mm-hmm.
Inside your home, it should be in a southern window, like right in the window, if you can do that. And then as soon as we're frost-free outside, it's just fertilizer and sunshine. It should bloom.
Mm-hmm.
But be careful that you're not pruning off what could be flowers. So that's why I'm saying do your pruning now and don't prune in the future, and you should get all kinds of blooms as the season continues.
Shouldn't I repot it because the water is just going through when I water?
We know it's time to repot when roots are growing out the holes in the drainage holes of the pots.
Mm-hmm.
If there's so much root in that pot that, like you say, it's just pure root, not a lot of soil, might be a good idea to do some repotting. Mm-hmm. Remember, nothing dramatic in terms of the size up.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever size pot it's in now, one size up with some fresh potting soil, that would probably help as well when it comes to flowering. All right?
Thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure.
Have a good Easter weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And thanks to one and all, actually, for joining us on this long holiday weekend. Nice to be kind of a part of the family, huh?
It is, yeah. And it felt like people had kind of left the city or something. When I was out yesterday, there was like nobody on the roads.
Yeah.
It was great, actually. Could get places fast yesterday. But today, there seems like there's lots of people around. So, you know, it's one of those things that some people do go away, obviously.
Yeah.
But
a lot of hosting going on over
the weekend,
right? I was going
to say, it's a big party.
You're going to be busy with that in mind.
Between Passover brunch today and Easter dinner tomorrow, it's a busy weekend for sure.
You got it.
Yeah.
Well, let's say hi to Joan in North York. Welcome to the show, Joan.
Good morning.
Hello. My problem is hostas.
Uh-huh.
I was given some hostas, and I live in a townhouse, but I have about 20 feet, I guess, where I can put garden against my brick townhouse, and I'm facing southwest.
Okay.
And the hostas have just taken over, and I can't dig them out. Is there any other way? And, of course, the bugs love them. Is there any way to dig some of them out or get them out without digging when I don't dig?
Yeah, I would suggest the best way, if you want to control them, is to dig them out. There's no other real legal way to get rid of them other than digging them out. And if you're having issues with the digging, look for, there's got to be some neighborhood teenager who wants to make some money, and just get
I
one.
I guess I could do that. My neighbor, my son, if he doesn't like the gardening.
Well, my son doesn't like to clean eavesdrops, but he still has to do it. You know, it's one of those things. So, but you know, that's what I would do. I'd look for some help to do that digging. The only other way you're going to eliminate those hostas would be with Roundup. Roundup is available in the store, but technically is not legally able to be used to control things like hostas. It is available in the stores to control things like poison ivy, not hostas. So that's why I wouldn't recommend Roundup for that purpose. I would recommend a good sharp spade and a teenager that wants to build some muscles.
Yeah, that'd be good, because I've got other plants around, and I like to put in geraniums and things like that, but they just take over everything.
Well, that's right. And if there's sometimes when plants are just too happy, they're just too vigorous and they do invade and take over. So, you know, just eliminate them. Make that garden something that you like. If at Southwest, you've got lots of options to grow there. You know, you don't have to just have a bunch of hostas in there. Okay.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Joan. Have a wonderful weekend. Thanks for joining us here. There are a couple of folks we have yet to talk to, and we'll get to those calls in just a couple of moments. Got to take a little break here. You are listening to The Garden Show here on Zoomer Radio, AM 740, and, of course, 96.7 FM in downtown Toronto.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, how's my psychability here? golly, I think
psychability, is that a word?
Our psychic ability.
There you go.
Yeah, there you are. I think our next caller is going to talk about worm castings.
Oh, you think?
Maybe call emanating from Riverdale. Well, we'll find out. Hey, Heather, good morning.
Hi.
Good morning.
How is everybody?
Excellent. Good. How are you?
I love your pink and purple shirt, Charlie.
Oh, thank you. You are watching. Hey,
wow.
Heather.
I am, and it's kind of weird right now because you're syncing. Your voice is not syncing with your face.
Oh, isn't that? Yeah, that's kind of weird, isn't
that
it?
That is kind of weird. All right, well, don't look
thanks
at the
for
face.
The wait. Okay, I am calling about worm casting. We are doing it again this year.
Excellent.
And I thought, because everybody knows how great they are, but not everybody has a computer, I thought I might give you my own personal phone number.
Okay.
So if anybody wants to call and find out about it,
all right,
you can have that.
All right.
Do you want to give it right now over the air?
Sure.
Well, that's people are going to find it, right?
Yep.
Okay, but I just have a request that you don't call until Monday.
Okay.
All right.
After Monday.
Okay, busy weekend.
Okay.
So it's 416.
Yep.
461.
Uh-huh. Yep.
6605.
Okay.
Okay, so after Monday, for more information or to order worm castings, which are part of a fundraiser annually put on by the Riverdale Hort Society.
Excellent.
All
you
right.
do a better job of advertising than I do.
So, and we know they're excellent because Frank got some from you a couple of years ago and loved his garden loved it.
Great stuff.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, so more information from Heather for anybody, and I'll give your number out again next Saturday as well.
Heather. Thanks so much.
When is
Thanks,
it?
Okay, happy Easter and happy Passover.
Thank you. Before you go, it's in May usually when you do the pickup of the worm castings?
Pickups in April.
In April.
Near the end of April and one in May.
Okay, got it.
Good stuff. Thank
Thanks,
you,
Heather.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Here's
Happy
one
Easter.
Of our favorite spots that in our minds. Anyway, Charlie, you and I have developed this wonderful little scenario surrounding, it all has to do with Empire Corners.
And I love the name of this town.
We've almost developed a little sitcom, you and I. But anyway, Verna is there, and she's calling in right now. Hi, Verna.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning, and happy Easter to both of you.
Thank you.
I called probably a couple of months ago in regards to an amaryllis. I was so excited after so many years was blooming. Mm-hmm. And it has bloomed, and I've still got one more bud to come.
Nice.
But now I'm wondering, what do I do with the stalk once the flower has died?
Well, cut off all those shriveled up petals that are up on the top of that green flower stalk.
Mm-hmm.
And I leave the flower stalk until it shrivels down and turns yellow, which it will do in a week or so. So then that comes out just with your sharp pruners or scissors. Then you've got to let that plant grow with those green leaves all spring and all summer so that you can fatten up the bulb so you'll be in good shape for more flowers next year.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And yeah, they turned out beautifully, and I've got one more stalk with a bud on it to come out.
That's great. Yeah, same thing. Mine, I've for the first time ever caused my amaryllis to rebloom, and they've just finished blooming now.
Wow.
So a little late, not quite Christmas, but nevertheless, very pretty. And now I've got green leaves growing, and I'm going to put them all outside for the summer. So, yep.
Excellent.
Success.
Well,
both
even if they don't bloom on time, it's exciting to see them.
They're beautiful anytime.
Thanks, Verna.
Thanks for calling and giving us that update.
Yeah, I'm glad we've got time left on the show here to particularly bring this gentleman in from White River. It's Rick, our old friend calling in from the far north. Hi, Rick.
No, everybody's not old. Don't we stop with the old friend?
Yeah.
Hello, friend.
Good morning, guys.
How are you?
Oh, well, I'm getting better.
You sound good.
Yeah, well, spring is in the area.
It helps.
But just 2 feet of snow on the ground.
Yeah, and is it snowing there now?
No, but it's a dull day. It looks like it's trying to snow.
I think you're going to get more snow.
Well, to the west of us and east.
Oh, maybe you're in the sweet spot. It'll just
we
melt.
We are a sweet spot.
Good.
It's White River.
I know. I've seen that on the web, actually.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you about orchids. My orchids are full of blooms. But I'm going to do a switch and ask you about parsley. I have a hard time to grow this stuff. I froze the seeds, or I moistened them.
Uh-huh.
I just can't grow this thing.
Parsley shouldn't be that hard to grow. Are they fresh seeds?
This year I did some fresh seed.
Fresh seed, and you tried sowing them and nothing's come up so far?
No.
So you'll always have better success growing any seed if you can give a little heat from below.
Well, okay.
Up on top of the fridge, if you can put the flat with the seeds, that's a nice warm spot, and then check every day. Little hood, of course, over top, or plastic wrap to keep that moisture in. Soon as they start to grow a little tiny bit, into that sunny window or under lights. Or a heating pad, even worst case scenario, get a little heating pad and low temperature. Okay. Just get that soil warmed up, because you know what? The parsley knows there's still snow on the ground. I think those seeds are waiting. They're just going, too cold.
Not yet. Yeah.
So just try and trick the seeds with more optimal conditions, and I think you'll get them growing no problem.
I can't ask two questions, eh?
I'm sorry. We've got one other caller. I'm going to try and sneak in here.
I did it for you, Charlie.
Okay. Yeah.
Thanks for calling, Rick.
Thanks so much, Rick.
Bye-bye.
We have one more caller on the line, so I want to squeeze in this call from Pickering. It's Cindy. Hi, Cindy. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys, and I'll make it really short. You're talking about pruning.
Uh-huh.
Rose of Sharon.
Yep.
But do you take out the thick ones? Like you do a lilac, or do you just trim it down?
Okay, so depends. It's a shrub, not a tree, by the sounds of it. So
yes, I have three.
And how long have they been in that location?
Like at least 8 years.
So they're a good size. So
yeah, really too big.
Depending on what, if you take out the big stems, the proper shape of a Rose of Sharon is vase shaped, or the letter V. So narrow at the bottom and a slight, widening as it grows up. If you were to go down and take out the older stems at ground level in the next few weeks, then you might have to just do a little bit of shaping for the young growth that's going to come up, or might be there now, just to get that proper shape happening. It will bring the height of the plant down, and it'll maintain the proper, sort of sculptural look of the plant. If you do the other thing and do the haircut, it will not be as good looking of a shrub. So given those two options, you can do either, but the older, just like we do lilacs, the older stems at ground level is the correct way to prune.
Fantastic.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
And thank you very much.
Have a wonderful Easter weekend, Passover weekend, and thanks for joining us.
Passover, it's matzah time.
Yeah.
That's what Passover.
Matzah ball. That's nice.
Chicken soup with matzo balls.
That's right.
It's that time of year. So, yes, indeed, that's what we're doing at our house. I think that's even what we're doing for brunch. There will be some matzo-made bagels for the people that eat kosher for Passover. And then there'll be just regular bagels for the people that don't eat kosher for Passover, like me.
Good stuff.
Okay. To go with all of our lux and
cream cheese.
Have a
wonderful weekend, Charlie.
Thank you. Yes, indeed. I think it's going to be really, really wonderful. And thank you for all your help today. Thanks, Sebastian. See you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.